Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Hope you've all had a good Easter break. But glad you're all back with us. How's the world in Canada, Barry?
Yes, it's good to be here, and we're getting snow maybe on Friday, hopefully not, but other than that, everything is going honky-dory. Do you have that saying in the UK?
We do, yes. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
You still get snow even in April.
Yeah, April is, it can be always, we can get a 15-degree day followed by a snowstorm. So
okay,
it's kind of, we're not really out of it until kind of the end of April.
But yeah. Cool.
Of course, you've got all the flowers out probably now, eh?
Well, we have, but we still got the rain coming. We have lots of rain, which probably you sent over from Canada to us, but.
Yes. You didn't want it? No. I apologize.
No, we've had enough. Thank you.
The one thing that is going to be kind of exciting for us is kind of unique is we're having this eclipse come, the solar eclipse on Monday.
Okay.
And we are, it's this very, very thin band that is the 100% eclipse. And it just goes right over, I like to think right over our house, make me sound very special, but over the region. And it's a very, very thin band. So that'll be pretty exciting.
So you'll be out watching that.
Yes, we'll have the grandees, and we've ordered the solar glasses, the eclipse glasses.
Oh, very good.
We'll be out there. Yeah.
And you've got a little trip coming up in a couple of weeks' time across your country.
Cross country. Ann and I are going to be going to the Father Heart Ministries conference with James Jordan and in Vancouver. And so we're so excited to be able to see James. We haven't seen him for a while. And the big picture, it's called. And of course, Peter Jackson will be there and Das and Frank. And some of my friends, I just posted on Facebook today saying, like, we're going, let us know if you're going to be there so we can connect. And anybody on Facebook watching tonight, maybe you could just even put a comment if you're going to be there so we can connect. But we've already heard from some friends that are going to be there. And of course, seeing James will be just lovely again. So,
right.
Yeah, and you're going to Uganda.
That's right. I mean, 2 weeks today, we'll both be in airports. Barry will be flying from Toronto to Vancouver. And 2 weeks today, I'll be at hopefully we'll be half an hour into the flight. My flight leaves Heathrow at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. 2 weeks' time to Uganda, going there for just under 2 weeks. I'm doing a couple of things. I'm training the new management team, giving them a bit of advice and input on how to run a business. So that's the old accountancy side of me popping out. And then running a Father Heart encounter for the main week that I'm there. Really, I just want to go and encourage the team, my friends over there, and just be with them and just encourage them and just see their hearts touched again and see them built up. And they've had a tough few weeks with various issues over there. So I'm just going to be with them and sit with them and hear their stories and put my arms around them and just ask Father to comfort them and be with them. I'm just as ever looking forward to it.
That's awesome. How many?
Go on.
Yeah, how many times have you been there?
I've kind of lost count, but it's over 20, probably 22, 23 times.
Amazing.
Over the last 20 years. First time I went was 1995, then 1997. Took the family in 1997, four young kids and my mum. That was 97. And then 2005, since 2005, I've been at least once a year. Some years twice, but mostly once a year. Apart from during the pandemic, when of course I couldn't get there. So it's a night flight, which is a bit of a nuisance, but it saves. If I don't do a night, if I do a daytime flight, I have to have a hotel either at Amsterdam or Brussels, and then a hotel at the other end of the day in Entebbe. it's just nice to sort of get there quicker and lose. Okay, you lose your sleep on the way, but you know what it's like. You get there, and then at least you can relax and get on with what you're doing. So next Wednesday, we'll both be together on the webcast. We'll be here together. But 2 weeks' time, there won't be a webcast because we're both flying away. And then so 3 weeks' time, Barry will be on his own or have a guest or something. So, So that's what's coming up.
And so as we do, what are we talking about today?
as we do, well, I just got a couple of thoughts I wanted to kick off with, and then we're just going to see where we go with it. It's not really a prepared talk or teaching or anything, but just hopefully want to share and let the Father encourage us and speak to us you know.
It's all good.
So take it from there. So Barry, do you want to pray for us before we get going?
Yes, I just want to encourage just our friends on online now, if you could just, we'll just stretch out our hands towards Mark as well as he goes to Uganda, because this is and I just think of the Psalm 68:5, God's a father to the fatherless, and there's so many fatherless ones in Uganda, and just in essence you being standing in for the Father of Lights, the great Father, and just being a father to these young ones too. So Father, we thank you for Mark, and we thank you for his life, and for Fiona, and how Uganda has really just embedded in their heart over these last 20 some odd years. And we just pray a blessing for Mark as he goes, a blessing for Fiona as she stays home. And Lord, we ask for traveling mercies. We ask for favor wherever favor can be shown, upgrades or flights on time, all those wonderful things. And just open hearts in Uganda that even if there are things that aren't planned, that you would just be that master planner and have the perfect timing for every step of the way there. And Father, we ask for just our conversation tonight. And that's all we're having, is a conversation but we are including in this conversation, not just the two of us, but our family around the world and those who are listening afterwards. And so we just pray a blessing on this time. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide us and lead us and just speak to us as we go in the most natural, normal way that you do, speaking to sons and daughters. And we just look forward to where this ends up at the end of the broadcast. So thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Barry.
All right, Mitty.
I'll get you back in a few minutes.
Sounds good.
So, it's just a few thoughts to kick off with, really. Just backtracking a little bit, though. Psalm 68, verse 5, God is a father to the fatherless. That verse really struck me the very, very first time I went to Uganda in 1995. I went to an orphanage, and the orphanage had really got an understanding of the Father's love and the Father heart of God. And, that was kind of part of what they did and part of who they were. I kind of have an impression, but I've never been able to prove it, but I kind of have this impression that the people that ran the orphanage and founded it actually had some contact with Jack Winter in the past, but I never got around to kind of confirming that. But that was kind of the impression. But when I first went there, on their sign by the gate onto the compound, it said, God is a father to the fatherless. And I spent the first 3 days walking around that orphanage just bawling my eyes out, because I think for the first time in my life, I really saw a practical, living demonstration of what that really meant. And I saw people opening their homes and taking orphans in, and, them being a father to the fatherless. And, I could see that God the Father was being a father to them. So it was a very, very special time. And my heart was caught by Uganda. We went back 1997, took the whole family. and a group of teenagers from our Christian school. And as I said, you know, that was 97, and 2005 onwards, I've been going pretty regularly. But I'm going in a couple of weeks, as I said, and one of the things I just really feel is on my heart to do is to encourage the team, the staff there. They've had a rough few weeks, very difficult, challenging few weeks, and they just need encouraging. And my go-to, if you like, whenever times are hard, whenever things are difficult, whenever there's a challenge, Psalm 27 and Psalm 84 are the two places I go to. And I was just preparing for Uganda just this week, and I was saying to Barry before we started, you know, preparation these days is not about looking at my notes and looking at my talk on God our real Father or the biblical revelation of the Father or the orphan heart or whatever. You know, these days preparation is about my heart and preparing my heart to be there and just saying, Father, here I am, you know, pour your love into me so it can flow out to those people. But I started thinking about what they've been through. I started thinking ways I could encourage them. And these two psalms, Psalms 27, Psalm 84, came to mind. And I just want to spend a few moments looking at Psalm 84, you know, together. Because there's something in that psalm that always strikes me. And I feel it's really, it catches something of the Father's heart. So I just want to read the first few verses, and I mean, we could read the whole thing, but I just want to read the first few verses and the last few verses of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty. And then the last few verses, verse 10, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And this is a psalm about finding home. You know, it's finding home in the midst of adversity. It's finding that place of belonging, that place of security, that place of safety when everything around us is falling to pieces. Everything around us is going wrong. And it's a homecoming psalm. It's the longing for the Father's presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. You know, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out. You know, there's that desire, that longing that says, I want to be home. And I think for all of us, I hope we know where home is. You know, home is in the Father's heart. That we have a place in his heart that is not dependent on who we are, our status in life, on how we behave, what we've achieved. It's, we've got a place just because we're sons and daughters. And, you know, the thing, you know, I love about this psalm is the desire that is in the psalmist's heart. You know, you feel it, don't you? You know, how lovely is your dwelling place? You know, it's like, oh, I want to be home. I want to experience home. I want to know I'm home. I want to really know that I belong, you know, and everything in me is crying out for your presence. And I guess, you know, just as we come together today and talk about this, you know, I would love that to be the cry of our hearts. That each one of us would have this cry inside of us that says, oh, Father, your presence is all I need. Your presence is all I want. That's what I long for. That's what my heart is crying out for is more of your presence. I just don't think we've begun to experience his presence, but please don't ever settle and think you've got it all, because there is so much more of his presence and so much more of him for us to experience. And I hope it's the cry of all of our hearts today, that something inside of us is saying, yes, I am hungry for more of your presence. I'm hungry for you, Father. You know, that's what I want. And that we would have within us that desire that would say, you know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, I'd rather just stand at the door than be in the tents of the wicked. You know, I'd just rather be a doorkeeper just looking on than be elsewhere. But at least then, you know, I would be the doorkeeper, but I'd still be close to your presence. And, you know, I hope that can be our heart's cry today, you know. And I really believe when we have struggles and when we go through difficult seasons and difficult times and everything, this is something we can hang on to. This can be the thing that is the cry of our heart, even in the midst of difficult, challenging circumstances. We can have that cry within us that says, how lovely is your dwelling place? This world is rubbish. Everything's going bad. Life's a struggle. But how lovely is your dwelling place? And we can set our eyes on things above. We can set our eyes on that kind of our true home. And so I trust that's the cry of our hearts. But the thing I just wanted to kind of just pick up on is verse 3 of Psalm 84. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. You see, the Father's presence is for everybody. And the swallow and the sparrow, they speak to me about two different kinds of people. You know, I know the psalmist is talking about the birds, you know, and if you look at an old building, you can see the birds nesting in the cracks between the bricks and the stonework, and you can see them balanced up there. And, you know, I know he's talking about, we've got a place in the Father's heart, but you know, all creation has a place because the Father has a heart. But to me, the swallow and the sparrow, they speak to me about two different kinds of people. A sparrow is pretty insignificant. You know, loads of them, two a penny. Nobody really notices a sparrow. They're not very colourful. You know, they're there. They sing in the trees. They fly around. You know, they're not like a robin or some of the more colourful birds, you know, that draw your attention to them. The sparrow is just kind of the insignificant bird, you know, loads of them around, don't really notice them, but they've got a place. And, you know, there's people like that. There are sparrows in the kingdom. There are sparrows in the family, people who perhaps feel insignificant, people who perhaps feel no one notices them. People who feel that they're just like everybody else. You know, they're not colourful, they're not bright, they're not charismatic, they don't draw attention to their personality, they're just ordinary little sparrows. And the encouragement I take from this psalm is even people like that, who feel insignificant, who don't feel worthy, who feel like they've done nothing, they have a place. They have a significant place of belonging in the Father's heart. And the swallow is another kind of person. You know, that a swallow flies in and flies out, flies in and flies out, you know, and you kind of think, are they going to settle or are they going to stay? But they come and they go and they come and they go. And there's people like that. They come and they go. They come and they go. You know, maybe there's people in our churches like that. They come and they go. Are they committed? Are they not committed? You know, what do they think all about this? They just come and they go and they come and they go. And they flit in, they flit out. But they've got a place. They've got a place. They've got a place in the Father's heart. And, you know, even, you know, when I read this psalm and I think about it, it's like everyone's got a place. And it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we're like. It doesn't matter whether we come and go or whether we put our roots down to stay. But we've got a place. And you might be feeling like that today. You might be feeling like a sparrow. Just as I've explained it, you might be feeling like a swallow, just as I've explained it, you know, and you might think, well, yeah, it's all right for those people. They've got a place. They know they belong. They've got their lives sorted out. Well, you know, no, probably not. And, you know, these swallows and sparrows, they just feel like they're on the edge. And you might feel like that today. You might feel I'm on the edge. I come and go. Is there a place for me? And I just want to say, yes, 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 there is a place for you. There's a place for you, whether you feel like a sparrow or whether you feel like a swallow, there's a place for you. And we all know people that we would call swallows or sparrows. And, you know, I want to encourage you, you know, if you've got people like that around you, just put your arm around them. Just draw them in. Make them feel that they've got that same place. Make them feel that there's something that can well up in their heart that says, oh, yes, how lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints for your courts. Because, you know, we found a home. I believe we found a home. Maybe we're still finding a home. Maybe tonight, as you've heard me just do this little introduction, you think, yeah, there is a home for me. You know, but the Father's heart is to welcome everyone home. You know, those that will come, there is a place. And, you know, if you're a swallow or a sparrow, if you know swallows or sparrows, make them, give them a place, make them feel at home. They belong. I'll bring Barry back in a minute, but you know, this reminds me of something that we were talking about a few weeks ago on the webcast, that, you know, this revelation of the Father is for the one. You know, it's great to stand up in front of a crowd of 1,000 people and speak and pray and minister to them. But this revelation is always for the one. And, you know, we talked about that the other week, that you know, it's love always finds its home in hearts by heart by heart. And when I read this psalm, I see, yeah, everyone's got a place. And, you know, you might feel insignificant, you might come and go, but you've got a place. And you too can have that cry of your heart. Yes, this is what I want, more of your presence. So I'm, you know, that's really kind of my introduction. I want to invite Barry back on, and I don't know where we're going to go with this, but we just want to bat this around between us, and just want to see, just believe that, you know, I believe through this, the Father wants to bring our hearts home in a deeper way today. Mm. You know, that we would have that cry that goes, yeah, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house. You know, better is one day in your courts, because there's something so beautiful, there's something so precious about his presence. And, you know, I don't want to stop seeking his presence. Mm. So that's kind of my intro, Barry.
No, very good, mate. And when you were talking about just the insignificance of the sparrow and the swallow, and just the beautiful attention that the Father has to every detail.
Yeah.
We have absolutely no idea. You know, oftentimes I think when we try to think of how God sees us, we actually kind of try to imagine hit God with our limitations. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, you know, you can only be at one place at once, and you can only focus on one thing at once, and And certainly we're not omnipresent or omniscient or omnipotent. So there's no possible way for us to grasp the immeasurable love and detail that the Father has. You know, Jesus said, one bird does not fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. We have a Father in heaven who is so aware and so attentive to the cry of our heart. And like you're saying, when we begin to, and I love that psalm that really says, it really speaks to the idea that the Father really makes provision for the sparrow and for the swallow in the most insignificant, maybe, of birds that we could think of. They're not the hawks and the eagles and the majestic, with the big wingspans, but the Father is just so loving and so kind to all that he's created. And of course, when I think of that, I think of Matthew 6, where Jesus, talking to his disciples, I think is starting at verse 24, and he says, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you should drink, where you should live." You know, then he really wants to bring it home, where he said, "Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store into barns, yet your Father feeds them." And then he said, "Are you of not much more value than they are?"
Yeah.
I think when we, when we can make that connection, I think when we start to think that, if the sparrows and the swallows have a place in the Father's massive expanse of creation, how much more do we have that? It's that how much more, I think. And of course, when you talk about home, I feel that each and every one of us was created for home. In a sense, that is the destination, that is the language of the human heart. We see that play out in the prodigal son story, how he left home and kind of ended in a pig pen, and then his journey was turning his heart towards home. And of course, even with all his disobedience and everything else that he went through, even offering his Father, thinking that, I'm no longer worthy to be a son, let me serve. The Father was so delighted that he had turned his heart towards home. I just want to just echo what you have said in the Father's desire in his heart, the welcoming sense that the Father has a place, he sees us. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that makes us feel alone is not only that we don't know somebody, but we aren't known. Mm-hmm. And we feel insignificant. We feel invisible.
So I just feel
that maybe the Father is speaking to one person tonight. And of course, as you said, just speaking for the one, that maybe there's one that is feeling invisible, that's feeling somehow no one sees them, no one knows them. And I just want to agree with you and declare over every person's life that the Father sees you, he knows you, he has provided a place of home. And if I can just read John 14, a few scriptures there, just that Jesus talks about home, all right? And the way home is through him. And then we can just bat it around a bit. But John 14:1 starts and says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." And of course, it's interesting because Jesus says, you know the way to the place where I'm going, like assuming they know where he's going. And then Thomas responds as, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" What are you talking about? This beautiful home. And then he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so I just, when we talk about this place of, in our hearts of feeling invisible, feeling misunderstood, feeling alone. And I believe even tonight, the Father in his great love for each one of us just wants to remind us how much more, if he looks after the birds of the air, how much more is his heart attentive to our cries. Jesus said to his disciples, in that same passage of scripture in Matthew 6, you know, don't be like the pagans who have, you know, through their much speaking, think that they can get attention.
Yeah.
But, you know, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. And I just, for us to be able to have that assurance of how attentive the Father is to us today.
I think, you know, the Luke 15, the son, he decided to go home. He set his heart to go home. He set his eyes homeward bound. At that point, he couldn't see home. You know, he was a long way away. He was in a foreign country. He couldn't see where the home was. But he turned towards it. And for each one of us, it's the same. We might, you know, depending on where we're at in our own journeys, we might not see home today. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is to turn and set your heart to home. And then you're on the journey. And then, you know, then you find the Father's open waiting arms to welcome you, to just to pour his love upon you. And so I think it always starts with us turning to home. It always starts with us saying, something in our hearts has to respond and say, yeah, I need to be at home. I need home. And see, maybe the father could have gone out and looked for the boy, but he didn't. He waited at home to welcome him.
Mm-hmm.
And the son turned his heart. So, you know, just turn your heart to home. Turn your heart to home today. And, you know, it's the homecoming is so vital and so important for us all to experience, not just once, but to go on experience and living in that homecoming. One of the verses in Psalm 27, which was the other psalm I talked about, is verse 4. It says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty and seek him in his temple." Mm. You know, it's that desire. This is all I want. This is the one thing, that I might dwell in your presence. And then verse 5 of Psalm 27, and this might be where you're at today, but verse 5 says, "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." And you might be living in a day of trouble. And we have a guarantee, we have a promise that in the day of trouble, he will keep us safe. You know, and that's it's so much better than us trying to keep ourselves safe. Yeah, he keeps us safe. He hides me in the shelter of his tent, and he sets me high upon a rock. I remember hearing Bill Johnson speak about this verse once, you know, and he said, you know, he sets me high upon a rock. What's he doing? He's putting you on display. You know, it's like that deer standing on a mountain cliff, standing up on high, standing on the ledge, you know, away from all of the enemies, but just standing proud on that ledge. And it's like, you know, what the Father does for us is he sets us high on a rock, safe place, a secure place. But he shows us off to our enemies because we're out of their reach. And I remember Bill Johnson saying that. I thought, yeah, wow, that's it, isn't it? He keeps us safe, but he shows us off to our enemies, you know, and that's the turnaround. You know, one day we're kind of fleeing from our enemies and the world is crushing in around us and there's all this pressure and all this stuff going on, and we feel like the sparrow or the swallow. And you know, the next moment when we found our home, the Father shows us off from that high, safe place. And you know, whenever he shows us off, he has that declaration over us, you know, "You are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love." You know, so I just believe when we find our home, it changes something deep inside of us, that we realize we have value because the Father is proud of us and he's showing us He's showing us off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of Psalm 23 where David says, "You prepare a table."
Yeah.
In the midst of, in the presence of my enemies. It's just like, it's like the Papa just goes, here, we're going to have a banquet. We're going to honor you at that banquet. We're going to have a feast, and your enemies are going to watch, and they can't do anything about it.
I mean, come on. You know, Barry, would you sit down at a table in the midst with all your enemies surrounding you?
Not unless I felt safe.
You've got to be really, really secure, haven't you, to sit down at a table with basically with your backs to the enemy, you know, because you know that someone else has got your back, and the one who's got our back is our Father. He doesn't tuck us away in a dining room and say, you know, sit down at the table in the dining room and eat. He says, I'm going to put you on display.
For sure. And I think, you know, getting back to Matthew 6, where, and again, it's the bird analogy, because, you know, oftentimes, Mark, you've been at our house and we've got like a bird sanctuary in our backyard. We've got all kinds of birds living in the trees behind us. And, you know, so many times over the years when I felt like, you know, worried or anxious for the future or having questions that haven't been answered, I've honestly felt the Lord say, just look at the birds, Barry.
Yeah.
Just look at the birds. Consider the bird, as Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. You know, they don't sow or reap. They don't have, you know, all these big retirement funds. And you know, they don't have a 20-year plan for their little lives. You know, they just live. They don't sow nor reap or store in the barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them.
Yeah.
And then just the encouragement, you know, are you of not much more value than them? And and I think so much of the of our struggle, and maybe it's just my struggle, maybe everybody else in the world has got this sorted, but so much of the struggle is when we forget our value to God. And it, like, getting back to the sparrow and the swallow, if he prepares a place for them, he provides a home for them, how much more? And again, I, you know, we can go from the how much more, we can go to Matthew 7:7-11, where Jesus, you know, says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And then he really hammers it home to, like, just a natural father's heart when he said, if your son comes to you and he asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asks for fish, are you going to give him a serpent? And obviously, what's the answer, everyone? No. The answer is no, of course not. And then he said, if you, though you are evil, and meaning just human, frail, just humanity, know how to give good gifts to your children. And then there's the how much more. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? And I think, you know, this idea, maybe what the Lord is encouraging all of us, and I'll take this as well as an encouragement, is that it's the how much more.
Yeah.
How much more if you feel homeless, and we're not necessarily meaning a physical home, but maybe you feel homeless, you don't have a tribe that you connect to in a local community, or you don't feel understood by your friends, your family, your coworkers, and you feel homeless. I just, my prayer for each and every one of us tonight is that we would just discover at a deeper level the home that Jesus prepared for us.
Yes.
In the Father's heart. And when he said, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14, that you may be with me where I am, you know, I know obviously from an eternal perspective, when we get to heaven, that is going to be a reality. Yeah. In every sense of the word. But the truth is, it's not just related to then. The truth is, it's related to right now. Because the Bible says in Colossians 3 that we're actually seated in Christ, hidden in Christ with God, at the right hand of the Father right now. Yeah. So in essence, that home is as much available to each and every one of us right now in this real-time moment. As it is, you know, when we're in eternity, and I'm going to be hopefully getting a mansion beside Mark's. I know his will be a little bit bigger than mine, but, you know, maybe he won't mind me, you know, getting in his bed, causing some, you know, schmozzle or whatever. So,
yeah.
Good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it is good. Yes. I mean, again, just from John 14, you know, a bit further on in the chapter, Jesus says, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then in verse 23, you know, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And, you know, I guess many years ago, I had a, maybe some days, sometimes still I struggle, but, you know, many years ago, I had a struggle with that, you know, because, you know, we read the verses and we kind of read the verses. But actually, when we think about what that means, and we're seeking to have those, when we're asking for those words to become a heart revelation, you know, I just thought, Father, why would you want to come and make your home with me? You know, do you really want to make your home here? It's like, you know, I know what this is like, and you don't really want to come there, do you? You know, I mean, of course, we read the verse and we read it regularly and we know what it says. But when we kind of just pause and ask for this heart revelation, and I'm saying, you know, Father, do you really want to come and make your home in my heart? You know, there's a whole lot of stuff that most of it gets filtered. I manage to stop it coming out. But sometimes it comes out. It's, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And however hard we try not to, sometimes it does. And I said to him, Father, is it? And he said, yeah, why wouldn't I? Of course I want to make my home. He said, I'm not, you know, he said, rubbish doesn't bother me. My son dealt with all the rubbish, you know. And I thought, oh, you know, and you get that revelation and you say, oh, yeah, the Father's made his home in my heart. And I've got a place in his heart. You know, I'm with him and he's with me. And it's all good stuff.
Oh, it's awesome.
Wow. Well, Barry, should we just spend a few moments praying for folk?
Yeah, I just feel like in the sense when you were just talking, and it was kind of the quiet, just that pause.
Yeah.
It was just like a sila, just that moment of pausing and reflecting on just this beautiful truth that the Father wants to encourage each and every one of us with. So I think, going to prayer would be great.
I'll just put some music on for a while, and maybe we'll just leave it quiet the music just for a few moments before we start praying, just to have that moment of our hearts saying, I need home, you know, or I want a deeper expression of home. And, you know, just take that moment just to say, here I am, Father, I'm coming home. Father, we thank you that each one of us has a place.
Mm-hmm.
That you've made provision for each one of us. Even if we feel a bit like the swallow or the sparrow, we have a place. Place of belonging, a place in your presence, a place in your heart. Mm-hmm. Each one of us belongs. Each one of us has a place. And Father, I just ask that as many hearts look homeward, many hearts set themselves towards home. Mm-hmm. Might not see home yet, but they set their heart towards home. Mm-hmm. Father, I just pray that your arms would gather your sons and daughters up and you would draw them into your heart. You would draw us into mm-hmm. your heart, that we would know that we belong, that we've got a place of belonging. You've got a place of belonging. Father says to you, you belong. I've chosen to make my home in your heart. I've chosen to make my home in your heart. Because you belong to me. Thank you. You're my precious son. You're my precious daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. And Father, we thank you that there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any more mm-hmm. than you do right now.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any less than you do right now. Mm. And Father, any of the kind of the human frailties that we have, in some way superimposed them on you, thinking that you treat us like we would treat ourselves.
Mm.
Father, would your love come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit and dismantle every misconception we have of your nature?
Mm.
Father, could we see you as you really are?
Mm.
And not how we've been treated by our earthly fathers.
Yeah.
Father, would you begin to expand in us the capacity by your Holy Spirit that the eyes of our hearts would be awakened, they would be opened so that we might know the hope of our calling and that we might know you better. And we would know that we know that we know at a deeper heart level that if you look after the birds of the air, Father, you will look after us because of our great value in your sight.
Mm.
Yeah. Father, would your love come and just drive fear out of our hearts? Mm.
Yeah.
Would your love come and just cover any areas in our heart where we just feel ashamed? Just like the prodigal father running towards his son, and he threw a robe around him to cover all of the dirt and just disgrace of being in the pig pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Father, would we experience that same covering love right now?
Mm.
That love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
Whoa. So if that's you today, if you feel unworthy, if you feel dirty, if you feel ashamed, just let the Father love on you. Let the Father put his own robe of righteousness around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dad.
you, Dad.
Yeah. Wow. Just remember, you're the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for watching online later. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time and place. And then 2 weeks' time, we're going different ways, but next week we're back here. So have a good week, everyone. Bless you. Thanks, yes. Barry.
Bless you, everybody.
See you soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.